to that, where we embrace the mess, indulge the subversive, celebrate the struggle, and shake our shame.
Season two!
It's season two, everybody! Woo! This is a call to connect. It's permission to be vulnerable and curious and human. Thank you for being here with us. Today, I am with my in-house renegade of funk, the ballpoint pushing chaos coordinator.
That's right.
None other than JT.
I do love ballpoint pens more than anything else. I just smear everything else everywhere. Ballpoint pens are like the only ones I can have nice handwriting or anything with.
You know, I knew that would get you going. I wasn't wrong.
Sitting next to me, as always, is the big-time personality in a tiny package. She's got those gorgeous eyes that are just meant for a sunrise. It's Jordan, everybody. How are you, baby?
I'm good, and you didn't rhyme it with thighs, which I appreciate. And so, yeah, that was nice. That's very nice. Are you a sunrise or sunset?
I am a sunrise person, yeah. I like to be an early riser.
You,
for sure.
I see you like, oh, I was in Hawaii for this minute hiking up. Yeah, man, bro. You sound so bro time I impersonate you. But sunrises for you. I have a pretty close relationship with the sunset. Different every time.
I get that.
Special.
I understand it. You know what? I'm missing seeing the sunrise with my baby.
Yeah. Can you tell in my voice
that
I've missed a lot?
We are sick. I think that's pretty obvious coming through here. Wintertime, I have weird allergies. I'm allergic to pine. Yes, the guy who loves Christmas is allergic to Christmas trees.
I need EpiPen training. unintentionally, I'm going to hurt you in some way.
I don't lose consciousness. I got you, babe. Okay, you know, I've jabbed those things into several kids' thighs, so.
Yes, as part of a job description.
Yes. To save lives only.
But yes, we have been icky.
Yes, and we're on what?
Urgent.
Night six?
We are embarking on night six of separate boudoirs.
Hate it.
And I knew this would be an interesting. Sleep has come up a lot recently, so we were like, let's get into this because it's dire.
Yeah, well, it's not a revolutionary thing to tell people how important sleep is. I think everyone knows that.
Yeah.
But what we're going to talk about is how important sleep is in a relationship. You know, like, I don't know. I hate the fact that I can tell how much you're enjoying sleeping in the other bedroom.
I hate that that's on my
face.
And
I don't even snore.
You don't. That's true. Yes. You've accused me of purring. I'm pretty sure I snore.
It's adorable. It's like a fan in my ear.
I'm very lucky to be loved by you because I've been accused as thrasher is something you've noted I'm capable of.
You are a thrasher. Mm-hmm. But luckily, because you are compact, we have a king size bed, thank the Lord. When you're over on the other side, you can thrash away, and I'm comfy.
I stay in some sort of regional respect zone. Yeah, but sleep is, like you said, I forget that metabolism and brain, like, my decision-making is the first to go, and I will confess here that I am a giant titty baby. I am the worst when sleep-deprived. I apologize in advance for...
Would you say it's your number one thing? Like when you are compromised and unable to really be Jordan the way you'd like to be Jordan, is sleep the number one thing that gets you there?
Sleep and probably, which rarely happens, but dehydration.
There
are times. Do you remember just recently, JT's like, man, I went to the kitchen for a glass of water, ate a whole donut. And so that was a hoot. I was like, been there, man.
Yeah.
Been there. But I think that sleep is my number one because I am irrational, erratic, inconsolable. All of my self-coping mechanisms out the door. Like, and it can be, I'm an emotional wreck where could break my pencil lid. My ballpoint pen runs out of ink and I am beside myself at me.
Until I met you. Oh. What do you mean by titty baby?
Well, my fam, you know, I mean, it translates on its own, but it has been, I was born with that, I think, already in the mix within my family of, when you're behaving like a giant titty baby, that's something to note. And so I wish I should come with a warning label.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up because when it comes to sleep, I think we are all that way. And kudos to you for being able to recognize and admit it. But the way I think about sleep, like when we don't have enough sleep, we are all compromised.
Sure.
And why don't we act like it? You know what I mean?
Prepping for the compromise.
Well, if you didn't get a good night's sleep, the way that I've always looked at this, and I think I actually learned this from a great therapist that I saw when I was a teenager, but he was like, when you don't have a great night's sleep, think about what that means for you. And the analogy that he used was, think about it like a gas tank. If you only slept for 3 hours, you're on a quarter tank, right? Are you going to drive out of state on a quarter tank? No, you're going to adjust your plans, right?
I'm just thinking about the times you tell me how far you can get on fumes. And I'm like, that's not a brag. That's not a thing. But yes,
for those of us who have been poor, it is a brag for sure.
And again, of course, we're wired, many of us, with the I have a big day coming up. So of course, I can't sleep because I'm anxious, excited, nervous, you know, running through how it's going to play out.
But think about that analogy. You're running on a quarter tank. That's great. You have to then approach your day. There are all things that we wake up and they're non-negotiable things
time to
that
prioritize.
Have to get done. Exactly. It's time to prioritize. If you stretch yourself too thin, titty baby's coming. Titty baby's
Brace
coming.
Brace yourself.
You know what I mean? And that's just what I wish more people realized is if you go to sleep and you don't get enough of it, you are compromised. So make sure that your energy that you do have is dispensed to where it needs to go. Because if you spend too much time doing the things that you really can't be doing it, you're compromised, you're just going to fall apart. You're setting yourself up for failure. And it's like, we can plan for this because so many of us don't get enough sleep and then try to tackle too much.
Who gets enough sleep? One time I heard the goddess, Dr. Brené Brown, said she requires 9 hours of sleep tonight, of a night. And I think that that is so admirable. And also my fear of missing out is so deep that I often, this doesn't surprise, I wake up FOMO. Standing up when I'm like, there's daylight, I have missed the sunrise, I have missed the moment. And so I wake up mid-sentence, often with Tourette's, with this current NyQuil evening situation. The other day it was still dark and I woke up and I was like, son of a hummus. I cannot even. And so, but it is really difficult because if you go in, you can't catch up.
No.
So if I'm going into this day with a, hopefully not a quarter tank, but I'm like half tank, I'm going to do my best. What do I anticipate on the following, the tomorrow that will.
Exactly. I like to look at it as just like a lot of things that we've talked about, a day by day thing.
One day at a time.
One day at a
one
time.
One night at a time.
When we're talking about sleep too, and really think about the night before the activities that are going on. And granted, you could be tired from further back, but again, this is a perspective, a mindset that I'm sort of trying to teach people who maybe don't get enough sleep. If I wake up in the morning or I'm sitting there in bed going, okay, my day's about to start and I didn't get any sleep, I start thinking about the most important things that I need to achieve that day because that's where my energy needs to go.
You just don't go schedule as planned.
No, I have to adjust because I know I'm compromised. And so an example of this would be, let's say I don't get any sleep. I have to go to work. I go to my job. I do my job. I put all of my energy into it. And I come home and you're like, hey, I've been thinking about this and we need to have a big conversation about this.
I've been meaning, yeah. So here's the thing.
Exactly.
One of those chats.
My instant response is going to be like, hey, I didn't get any sleep and I put all the energy I had into my work day and I'm just compromised. Do you think we could have this conversation tomorrow and schedule that? And then guess what? Let's say I don't sleep again, but then when I wake up, I'm thinking, okay, I need some of the energy I do have to be geared towards that conversation. Does that make sense? And then I have set myself up for success where I'm literally looking at it like a gas tank. I'm going to run out. I need to make sure that when I come home from work, I've got this much left in my tank for this conversation. Does that make sense?
Absolutely makes sense. Yeah. And I think I would even understand if you walked in the door and you're like, but tank's half full. I can't imagine. You know, so I do think scheduling the big stuff and admitting, because how healthy and, you know, to come at it as a partnership and be just articulate about like, hey, this day kicked my tuchus, did not sleep great. Here's where I'm at. Because if you're coming in with half and I'm like, I had an awesome day. I meditated, which now we all know means I napped. And so I'm feeling like a million bucks that kicks me into instant, no issue at all overdrive. Well, it, I can take some things off your plate.
Exactly right. It makes me think of successful partnerships because everyone looks at marriage relationships as, oh, it should be equal on each side of things. That's just not true.
Much as we all love the success of keeping score in a relationship.
Oh, man.
But yeah, 50-50 BS, personal opinion.
It is completely BS because sometimes one person's going to have to do more and the other person's going to have to do less.
I think every parent is like, yeah.
And it's a sort of ebb and flow sort of chart where that's how successful partnerships really work. And so when I can vocalize and let my partner know that I'm compromised and you had a wonderful day and meditated and do all these things, you're in a position to sort of coast and guide and it sort of is
drive the ship.
Exactly. It's like, hey, I need you to drive for a second. I'm exhausted. And that's a big part of a successful partnership. And we're applying it to something so simple like sleep.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the partnership, so coming clean with how you stand with your tank, but also let's circle back to your absolute advocacy for sleeping together. This is what people do who are in love.
Well, for me, there is a level of intimacy that comes with sharing a bed.
Sure.
And it's not a sexual thing. It can be. But at the same time, I'm just talking about sharing a bed, a space with someone.
It's a vulnerable moment.
That is an intimate thing. We all toot in our sleep, you know? Like,
oh, how have we not got there yet? So I purr and just a symphony.
I wasn't saying you. It's something we all do. But my point in that is there's a level of intimacy where you're sharing a sacred space with someone. And in my life, growing up sort of Reformed Catholic, I was never allowed to be alone in my own house with the opposite sex. And so it was like my entire life, I looked forward to sharing a bed with someone because it was something I had never experienced. You know, I lived with my parents, went away to college, lived in a dorm room. Yeah. Then right after that, moved in with six other dudes. Like, that's not the bed I'm looking to share. And so there's a level of intimacy that comes with that. And I love it. I love when I get to share the bed with you. And it breaks my heart when we have to sleep separately like we are right now to heal. And
I am so grateful you're on board because, again, going on night six, this is a unique situation. You started first. I caught it later. And so it's been.
Sorry about that.
We're near the end.
We are.
But it is tricky. And I think even it brings me to the going to bed angry because I could be fine sleeping on my own all the nights. I'm a hot box. I don't need to touch really, like maybe a little handhold. We do a good little like feet touch. That's nice.
Yeah.
And then I flip over on my stomach and roll 4 feet away.
Exactly. So you can thrash.
So I can thrash in peace, thrash and sweat.
And I know it seems it doesn't seem to make sense. It doesn't, but that's how I function. And even though you're all the way over there and I'm all the way over here and we're not even touching, it's a level of intimacy that is important to me. And you've been very respectful of that. And that's why I was sort of like, I hate how much I can tell you're enjoying sleeping in the guest room.
Right. And I think there's something endearing about like, oh, I woke up after a perfect night of sleep, alarm, no alarm, with the sun, and have a little cuddle moment. That's very, and I think it's just romantic that I think that you cherish it like that, where I'm like, yeah.
But you're making a strong case for moments like when you're sick, it makes sense. Let's say that you've had a string of nights where you haven't gotten a lot of sleep. If you came to me and were like, hey, I'm going to go sleep upstairs because I really need a good night's sleep, I'm not going to frown on that. Like I understand the importance of sleep, particularly I don't want anyone to be a titty baby. And we have already recognized like it's so important to your mental health. We're not giving any new information there. It's so important to your physical health. Your brain recharges. It literally is like a refill for your brain. And if you're telling me you're compromised, I'm not going to argue with that. Are you kidding me?
Yep. Coming clean seems like a really safe bet. Can you imagine both of us in titty baby empty tank compromise position at an airport?
Oh my gosh.
What would we do?
That is my most stressful situation. I get turnt at airports and it's it is almost always directly related to my sleep. And I recognize that because usually when we're
travel anxiety,
usually when we're catching a flight, I've been up late packing or something like that, and then did not sleep well because of the travel anxiety. And I know when I get to airports, and TSA,
the shoes on, shoes off, that is a thing for this man.
Right.
With, I have to arrange my outfit in such a way, which I respect. Well, because disrobing in public is still not my favorite.
I think every experience at an airport in my adult life, like, I have this visualization standing in line at TSA that all of those people didn't come to work. They just rose from the ground.
they live here.
They are demons. And they just came up from the underworld to get everyone onto the plane.
There's some magical.
And I'm sorry for TSA people. I know you're probably lovely, but my compromised state.
I know some gems that bring the thunder of making that experience as humor-based. humorous and, not as invasive as possible.
This episode of Let's Dig Into That is sponsored by...
Are you tired of waking up exhausted, snapping at coworkers, or have you noticed that you're that dick at the airport? Allow me to introduce She's On Top. She's On Top is the most revolutionary sleep development of the past century. The kids had it right all along. Bunk beds, the latest trending technology in relationship satisfaction. Two temperature-controlled, king-size habitats stacked for maximum space, distance, and sleep fulfillment. She's On Top offers dual-partner customization, Bluetooth, and wireless charging. Enjoying the company of an overnight guest? Don't compromise your rest. Propose bunking on the bottom and feel radiant by breakfast. Spoon, snuggle, and then slip into the sheets of your own king-size dream raft. She's On Top, now available with slide, ladder, pole combo. Restrictions apply.
So, Jordan, you and I don't have the best wind down. You know, I don't think a doctor would say, oh, yeah, you guys are doing it right to make sure you get a good night's sleep.
I think we may break close to all the rules of, like,
screens
and lighting and... Meditation is not something, as we've learned, like on my own, but I think the sleep apps for soothing, you know, spa music, none of that's happening.
No, we're really bad. When we
Fair enough.
We do sleep in the same bed, we usually have the iPad going right next to our faces. Even though we're not looking at it, it's, you know, it's still affecting us. But we love to have noise. That's
true.
We'll put on a show we've seen a million times just to kind of hear it because it turns our brains off.
I think I have changed you into this person. I blame myself completely because, yes, it has to be something that I've seen because I am just listening and I can't be captivated because I'm like, why don't I listen to like a great book? If I have read it before, I think I could get away with that.
Maybe.
But it has to be, I don't know, Seinfeld, The Golden Girls, like something that I've seen so much that I wear it like skin. And
exactly.
It lulls me and my active.
It can't capture your attention or else you're going to stay awake. The whole point is to help you fall asleep.
And like, so we've showed a step of improvement for it's not a giant TV. It is an iPad face down wedged between pillows.
Well, you said that you think you've trained me. And I'll be honest.
For
most of my adult life, I was a heavy drinker. And so it a lot of times was falling asleep with a beverage, with a movie on, couch, bed, whatever. So this is actually a monster improvement for me.
On the surface of the sun, it's so bright.
Yes.
Your bachelor pad TV, I'm sure. So bright. And you're still holding your highball glass, perhaps. Yes.
Yeah,
is that
yeah.
a visual? Okay. Yep. So, yeah, falling asleep on the couch, movie, it happens, but holy moly was sleep the first thing I noticed when I stopped drinking.
Yes.
My body was like, oh, girl, you needed that for years.
It's crazy. When you stop drinking, that is the first benefit that you feel, and you sleep like you've never slept before.
It is. It was like, weren't kidding, like newborn rest.
Yes, in the early sobriety, it's like, I closed my eyes yesterday. And woke up, and it's well into today.
Rested.
It's a crazy, it's part of that pink cloud that we talked about in the past episode.
I did feel like having t-shirts printed of, you won't believe. Like, totally. And it takes time for that, but your body to transition on how the hormones are being released and chemical detoxy feels. But, oh, yeah, I felt like I had been swaddled.
Well, alcohol, we took care of that. but we have so many other bad habits right before we go to bedtime. And when we're winding down, before we go down into the basement, we like to hang out in our main area. The kitchen's a very open space, and we just sit there and eat.
We graze. So that is a habit I had, like secret, nighty, naughty behaviors. We called it my shame corner is what I donned it, that I would graze and snack the night away with a delicious margarita or six, whatever. And so now I've, once again, you had that habit on your own. And so now we found each other. And so it's true. It's like, oh, both reading excellent books. Both have, you know, ready. I love to floss. I'm down for a little wind down time. And we sit there like and just nibble.
Absolutely. I would really love to consciously work on our habits leading up to bedtime so we both sleep better.
JT is adamant that we do kind of sync up. He loves a good bedtime choreography, which I think is kind of precious because our bedroom is on a different level than this kitchen opportunity. And so it's like, so you about to head that way? And so it's pretty cute.
Well, I have a different philosophy. Like I want to spend my time with you. And
but I can't eat in private like I want to with you all up with you on me like a parka.
Pretty sure our audience knows about our dynamic. But like if I'm at work all day and I've sort of expended my energy a little bit, mm-hmm. I'm definitely in wind down mode a little earlier than you. So I'm sitting there watching TV, grazing around the kitchen and kind of waiting for that moment that we're both ready to go to bed. Cause I do like to go to bed together and I can see how it's problematic where you probably wish just like, hey, go to bed. But I can recognize I have some preconceived trauma. In my first marriage, I can't remember a single time where we went to bed at the same time.
Really? Not once?
No. Cause she woke up super early and worked in downtown Denver and we lived about an hour north of Denver. And so
She
needed to go to bed real early, and I was like, I haven't come down from my day.
So you didn't do the all go to bed with you and then just tiptoe out of bed and go?
I did that on occasion.
Okay, so you went to bed together sometimes,
but you didn't stay
in bed together.
No, it was pretty rare, and again, it was a lot of falling asleep on the couch watching something, and I maybe came into bed as she was getting ready to get up.
Bet she loved that.
Yeah, it wasn't good. And there's a reason that we're here now. And again, wonderful person, would never say anything negative. But that was one of the things in my past relationships that I was able to pinpoint as a problem that I try to do a better job. Everything that I've learned from in my past, I want to consciously do a better job and sleep. And the person that I was because I wasn't rested, like I want to be a better version of myself, and sleep and the habits that make sure I have good sleep are a big part of that.
Yeah. And this unhealthy grazing attitude is, an easy fix.
Half the fat, slow churned ice cream.
So much ice cream in the dark.
And we're sick. Like, so it's probably why we sound like this.
But such an easy fix. And I do think that being able to sync up and have a little bit does help with that, like falling asleep where it isn't. Because I have too many like 9 p.m. epiphanies. My brain has these rapid fire where I'm just like, oh, shoot, about to make brilliance. And I want to tell you about all of them. But it is completely fair to like you are out.
Right.
Working hard, giving so much of even your emotional self away that you're like, OK, can we get a marker board? And can I reference it tomorrow?
Well, I think the hardest part about changing habits is knowing what to change them to. And so when we're talking about these bad habits that we have and we want to, I have been able to share a house and a bed with you and recognize and sort of observe. And there are nights where I can tell you're rested and nights where I can tell you had a rough night. And there is a difference. And truly, if we're sitting there watching the iPad and it's something that isn't letting you sort of fall asleep and you're frustrated and you toss and turn a little bit versus when you pull out your journal and you put your thoughts out onto that piece of paper and turn your brain off that way, as opposed to just having noise that turns your brain off, you sleep better. I've witnessed it firsthand. And I think that's true for all people. But you had to figure out what that other habit was to replace. And that's kind of how habits work, is you can't just be like, oh, I'm going to stop doing that. without having something else to do.
Replace the moment. And because even having part journal, vent, whatever's on my heart could be great things I'm looking forward to, but also the to-do list of, ooh, okay, I'm going to just file that away. I get in a real slippery, that one thing becomes three that I'm now jotting down to be the first. When I wake up standing up, then I'm going to go straight to my marker board and jot down these three bedtime epiphs.
Right. And I get that. And I would sort of say, reevaluate. When you wake up and you've made that list, you like to journal, you like to put the things that you want to do in your upcoming day, that's such a productive thing to do. I wouldn't say change that. But when you wake up and you can actually evaluate, am I rested? Did I sleep well? Then you can kind of look at that list and be like, priority one, priority two. Then I'm going to reevaluate again on how I'm feeling. And so like, this is something that I teach to my little ones that I work with all the time. There's this tool invented by TBRI and the Texas Christian University Institute of Child Development, and it's called an engine plate. And it's literally just a white plate.
And it's your gas tank to a certain
extent. Yeah, and what you draw on it is red, green, and yellow on one side of it, and then you attach a little arrow with a brad, and this is a way for a child to be able to communicate where they're at.
I'm feeling red. I'm in the red zone.
I'm in the red. And then you can kind of act accordingly. And this is something that adults should do all the time. Gauge where you're at. Are you in the red? Don't put more on your plate if you're in the red.
Right. Cue up the boundaries being tricky, where you need to know thyself in right. that moment of talk about an opportunity to overcommit and
And so that reevaluation stage of like, And to be honest with you, I'm not talking about your behavior or what goes on, because that it can help with that, of course, but it helps the people around you sort of know where you're at and then be able to take charge. And because that's one of the things that we struggle with in our relationship is we're both take charge kind of people.
Fake it till you make it. Right. Act like you've got all the juice.
We want to just go. But if we had an opportunity to check in and like I came home from work and said my tank's at a quarter, that tells you how to behave. That is a communication
tool.
Informs
the flow.
Right.
And expectations too, because
exactly.
Yeah, expecting you to bring your A game because you're finally here to participate in this household we've arranged. And I, known to have a list and polite requests.
But if I came in and was able to communicate where I'm at, it changes how the night's going to go and how we're going to accomplish those tasks. And it's not a bad thing to reevaluate. Mm-hmm. And that's just what I'd encourage everyone in terms of sleep and how you're feeling, evaluate where you're at and what you've got left in your tank. But the extra benefit, because we're talking about sleep here, is as you learn those things, you'll improve your sleep habits along the way. Because you'll like, I'm tired of waking up on a quarter tank. I'm tired of waking up half tank. And by actually being aware and creating this conscious awareness of where you're at and sort of where your tank's at, you actually make the changes in your habits to sleep better as well.
Have you ever had a sleep study?
In college, I think I got a credit or two for participating in one. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you're donating all kinds of stuff.
I took bowling. Yeah,
I don't know if that applies here, but I've always been very intrigued because I think it is tricky to have this conversation when you battle with insomnia, apnea, restless leg. What are other, nightmares, like even
night terrors and nightmares are a real thing.
It'd be tough. Regardless of your mattress, the battle is real. How great would it be to start a business meeting sitting around a conference table with, all right, how'd everybody sleep? Let's just do a quick analysis.
It's how it should probably go.
Right? Talk about the benefits of we can't expect much from Carol and Dwayne today.
All right, Steve, you can just log off. You know, like you're not pulling this conversation. Get a good night's rest because you're leading the discussion tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that would probably be a more efficient way to operate in a business setting.
We may be onto something there. And we live in the state of Colorado, so pretty much most of everyone we know has a melatonin or plant-based induced sleep routine. Do you agree with that based on your community?
Well, I get what you're saying completely, and there are a lot of benefits to THC, because I think that we're talking about weed. And yes, I remember my mom lived in a 55-plus community, and she was making friends after my dad passed, and every single person in her little group
offering her
was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I get the trauma that you've been through and you're having a hard time sleeping. Every single one of them was taking gummies before they went to sleep.
I bet they all came with, they're like, here's my ratio. I'm doing a CBD 80-20.
Right, 20 milligrams here.
Here's my sleep strain.
Half.
Oh, my goodness.
It's becoming a thing, and I'm not educated enough to really know the positives and the negatives of it. My limited-ish experience with marijuana and sleep is it is wonderful.
It works.
It definitely, like, it puts me out. It's one of the reasons I don't partake as much as others, because if I'm going to enjoy some THC and some marijuana, I've got like a 25-minute window before I'm sleeping.
Asleep. And you wake up feeling, what does that do to your tank, out of curiosity?
Great question, and I've never evaluated it. That would be a really interesting study for you and I to sort of dig into, because I do think that I probably have a fuller tank than I would, but, you know, people don't talk about it. It's a depressant, just like alcohol, and there's some negative things too. If that's your daily routine, I would be worried then about your mental health, where sleep is usually a giant benefit for it. And now I have some concerns based on the substance you're using to sleep.
Right. Matching your uppers and downers. You got to get that mix right. Got that caffeine.
Got that
nicotine.
Right.
Yeah. Get your cocktail. And so it is a balance of.
I would think, and again, I would say every once in a while, probably not a terrible thing. Every night, probably not a great thing.
To each their own. Who knows? But I was curious because it seems similar to you. My father went to a block party in the summertime, and he was like, well, apparently I'm the only one that's not on this regimen. And so I think that,
Well, we are the first state to legalize, and I think people take advantage, and there are some benefits to weed and THC and
the CBD combo.
And the CBD combo. And so I don't want to hate on any of that stuff. And I'm not educated enough to have a real opinion. But from my limited personal experience, yeah, it helps me sleep a ton. But I wouldn't do it all the time because I'd be concerned that it would affect my mood.
Ah, yes. Good night. Nice self-awareness on the depressive tendency, perhaps, that it's like, oh, man. If it starts to slope, it can get slippery.
Right. But if it's helping you get sleep, sleep is proven. It might be, if not the top thing that can improve your anxiety and stress levels, it's definitely towards the top. And
I'm sticking there with hydration too. Combo those. Can you imagine? I'd be an unstoppable force.
Aristotle, everything in moderation.
Including moderation?
Don't go there.
Okay. It's obvious that might be my modus. So it seems as such.
Right.
But yeah, to actually sleeping together in the future, I think we have come to a place in our relationship where if I was unable to fall asleep, if I mind racing, that I could sneak away, where we, in the original days, this man would track me down and be like, what's wrong? We can talk about it. Let's dig into that right now. Pillow talk. Let's go for it. Well, and now you're not offended, which is so lovely because it rarely happens, but I kind of want to leave like a, you know, sock on the door is the opposite of what I'm going for. But like, yeah, I'll just leave a T-shirt that is positive, a happy shirt in the middle of the floor. And you'll know she's all right.
Yeah.
She's all right.
Exactly. And so it's about communication, like a lot of things we talk about are. However, I do realize that I've grown a lot in that capacity. And I think that's, you know, I think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Mm-hmm. I'm into it.
You start at the very bottom level, shelter, water, food. I would argue that sleep is like, it's not even a need. It's an essential thing that we have to have. And so understanding the significance has helped me quite a bit on how
it's like breathing.
I haven't been a good sleeper most of my life.
Who claims that they are? Who are those folks?
And so the importance of it should overshadow almost all other things, even my need for intimacy.
So prioritize sleep.
It needs to be a priority in your life. It truly does. If you want to be your most authentic, best version of yourself, sleep is going to play a major role in that.
Oh my gosh. And even my skin, like, sorry, turning 40, but like stuff is, it's like, oh, you, yeah. don't bounce like he used to. And so let's be real.
Yeah. So that's just how I sort of frame it out, is we have grown a lot in that capacity. And so when it comes to couples who are struggling with this, whether you're sleeping with a snorer, someone with sleep apnea, and thank God they've made some improvements with those machines where now you've got the little nose things as opposed to the whole mask.
I know marriages that they're like, it's a new world. This has been holy moly. And yeah, having their partner rested.
Oh,
has been interesting as well.
Of absolutely. We don't want to throw at anyone, but the feedback that I heard from one of your besties whose hubbies went on to a sleep apnea machine, his feedback was my favorite, where he's like, oh my gosh, like my brain works. Like it's just unbelievable.
Feels 20 years younger.
Right. 20 years younger.
Yeah.
So we're the same age now.
Accurate. No, he feels younger than you, so 25.
Okay, yeah, even better.
So 100% 25. But I think I've learned a lot where I often check in on your day. Like, give me a scale of 1 to 10 is a thing we often do.
Yep.
And I shouldn't be assessing necessarily what it was like being out in the world overall. But, yeah, what your tank is coming back home.
Yeah, maybe that's like, maybe that's what we reframe.
When we're reunited, what are our tanks arriving back at the homestead?
Maybe instead of just a generalized 1 to 10, maybe it starts, give me your tank. And I'm giving you a quarter, a full,
three quarters. This is going to be so tricky because let us not forget one of our dogs is named Tank. So he is going to be very
engine plate me.
Yeah, engine. There you go.
I'm in the green, baby.
I can't believe you haven't given me a paper plate with the red with my color wheel. Because, yeah. But I think my face says it all. That rage pirate in the morning, she is like, ooh, burning hot red. She did not sleep good.
Yeah, well, just having the information, it does two things. You're able to communicate it to people so they can kind of gauge how they're going to behave in response. Second thing that it does is it gives you a way to emotionally attach a feeling to something. Because we all know the benefits of, if you can put language or words to how you're feeling, that's step one. And so you're accomplishing both those things, communicating, but also putting words and language and a way to express how you're feeling out there. Most of the frustration that we feel that builds up inside of us is because we don't know how to get it out. You just took the first step on getting it out.
I do often use sleep as a processing mechanism where it's like, I'm going to sleep. I'll say, I'm going to wake up a new person.
You do say that.
And so to be able to sleeping on it is a phrase for a reason.
Right.
That there is clarity in the recharging of the brain, in that abyss, that dark abyss, there are some things that come to light.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, I think that this tankopotamus.
So, baby, where are you sleeping tonight?
Oh, jury's out, man. Yeah, so what we've learned, yeah. Sleep priority, it's a wish I have for everyone. That yes, they are, yeah, because it's hard. It's hard to find the time. It's hard to find the right wind down. And so I think that, yeah, tonight we shall see.
Mm-hmm. Well, great conversation. I really enjoyed this. I think that there's a lot here. And if people could prioritize sleep, it really will
use
change
your words,
your day. It really will.
Yes.
So
sleep better and talk about it.
That's
what
right,
we're advocating.
Right. Know where your tank's at.
Thank you so much for being here with us. I'm Jordan.
And I'm JT.
Until next time, be brave, beautiful friends.